Chapter 2. Afternoon Services. There was quite a turnout of citizens at the afternoon services, and extra chairs had to be provided. The interest here among the residents of Ottawa seems to be increasing, and as the weather is growing more favorable, it is hoped that the large tabernacle can soon be used. The Electric Light Company has been busy at work putting in lights in this building and the park, and very shortly all portions will have the benefit of this light. The afternoon sermon in the assembly room was delivered by Elder E. H. Gates of Colorado. The speaker said, Sermon by Elder Gates. I will call your attention to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. The apostle begins by calling our attention to the wonderful love of God. It seems that he cannot, and no one can, describe it. He says, Behold, it will hurt no one, brethren, to call our attention to God's love and what he has done for us. When I first embraced the truth, I could see well enough his justice in calling us to account for our sins, but I believe there is another side to his character. At first I looked upon God as one who was to be dreaded, and looking for failures in his people. I do not entertain that idea now. I was brought up to believe in an endless pit of torment, but at the age of 20 years I learned the true character of God, and I cannot express the feelings that came over me at the discovery. It came through reading a little work, carelessly, depicting the popular view of Satan as a hideous monster, and I read the writer's ridicule of this idea. I hardly dared believe it was all false, but I thought, if this writer can prove it out of the Bible, he has a right to do so, and further, I have a right to trace it out, too. I read the book through, and by that time my ideas had changed. I knew then that God was not a tyrant, ready to destroy his people, but a God of tender mercy and love. Yet it took time to fully eradicate my old notions. For the last year I have been studying more closely the character of God, as one desirous of making us sons of his. We are liable to look upon God in a different light to what he is, because, as Mrs. White says, Satan has misled the world and taught them to misunderstand God and his relations toward them. The elder then narrated an anecdote of a minister attending a dying sinner, and for 3 visits only held up God's justice, until finally the man cried out, Is there no help out of this? And this gave the opportunity, and the visitor opened the Bible and taught him of the matchless love of Christ, and the man repented and was converted. Now, as men have been so deceived, how can they learn the true character of God? Why, by wording as this minister did the Word of God. He read John 14, verses 7 to 9. This says that those who saw Christ saw the Father, they being identical. What was Christ? A loving, tender Lord, going about doing good, healing the sick and forgiving the sinner. Everywhere he went, he dispensed blessings. God is love, brethren. And now he has adopted his people and made them sons and daughters. Paul says so in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16. It is this adoption that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. God takes those who come to him and makes them sons. John tells us, to such he gives the right or privilege of becoming sons and daughters. How honored we would feel to be admitted to some foreign court, even to be admitted to a sight of the President of the United States, or receive a shake of his hand, we would feel highly honored. But suppose we could be adopted into some royal family. It would be looked upon as a great honor because it would carry with it a privilege of becoming heirs. Dear brethren, we have not been adopted into an earthly family, but a heavenly, adopted into the royal family of God. John says that the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are sons of God, and if sons, then heirs, that is, we are adopted, and thus take his name, and become heirs. Remember the promise to Abraham? All the world was to be his and his seed. Who is the seed? Let us read Galatians chapter 3, and we find it is Christ. The promise is to Abraham and Christ then. And verse 29 shows us how we become heirs according to this promise. And my text shows the love that has been shown us, that we are to be adopted into his family and become his children. The longer I live, I want to study this side of God's character and to realize his love and goodness towards us. I fear we are not enjoying our religion as we should, but maybe have been making the same mistake that the Jews did, stumbling at the stumbling stone, spoken of by St. Paul in Romans chapter 9, which is Christ. We have sometimes felt as the fanatics who mutilate their bodies by way of penance, or we try to get a little better before coming to Christ, in reality doing as the Jews did of old, going about to establish our own righteousness. I am so thankful today, brethren, that we know of the love of God, and that God is willing to forgive and accept us and own us as his sons and daughters. And I feel that it will do no harm to tell others about it. After giving many beautiful illustrations showing the tender love and pitying watch care exercised over the union by the Lord who does not take delight in the death of any soul, he closed by calling attention to the fact that the only reminder there will be in the new earth of the sin and the curse of this will be the marks of the nails of the cross in the palms of our Lord's hands, and earnestly pleading with all to believe in the tender love of the one who has graven their names in the palms of his hands. At the close of the discourse, the order of exercise was changed, and the meeting turned into an experience meeting, in which a large number of short and tender testimonies were given. This portion of the exercises seemed to be of special interest to the visitors present. After an hour spent in this way, the congregation separated to come together again a half hour before sunset, the close of the Sabbath, to seek God in prayer. After which, Elder Jones began the delivery of the evening lecture on the evils of religious legislation.